Hello, and welcome to the Video Game Flashback Podcast. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Video Game Flashback is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today, as we are going to venture back into the, well, we'll call it the black and white world. We're going to venture back into the portables, the Nintendo Game Boy, with another one of its outstanding titles, I'd have to say. And we're going to start with our first Mario game. We're finally going to have a Mario game on Video Game Flashback. And no, it is not going to be Super Mario Brothers or Duck Hunt or anything like that, because that's going to be a Christmas show. So that's got a ways to go. Maybe this next year will finally be the year. But we are going to venture into what I think is the best Mario game on the Game Boy, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. Well, I finally got that part out of the way, right? It took me about 10 minutes to tell you which game I'm gonna review today, but, well, it's in the title anyway, so yes, you figured that out already. But what a classic. Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. For me, this was a very, very enjoyable game. Obviously, the original Super Mario Land was very fun. That'll probably be a summer release one of these days, because that was a birthday game when I got the Game Boy circa 1991, 1 year after I got the best cat that ever lived in 1990. But a very exciting time getting a Game Boy, kind of a, basically in a lot of ways, a portable NES. Unfortunately, at the time, either green, you know, shades of green, which once upon a time was a lawn service before it became Splendor in the Grass, shades of green, right? Then the Game Boy Pocket, it had more of a, you know, higher def, I guess, if you can call it that, black and white look, which is what regular Game Boy games look like in emulation. They kind of have that look. The green look is gone. And then, of course, the Game Boy Color. Unfortunately, Super Mario Land 2 never got to the Game Boy Color, but the Game Boy Pocket obviously made, you know, regular Game Boy games look a little bit better. You could, like, see everything more definitively. Sometimes it's like, you know, in the old Game Boy, the screen would look so faded at times you couldn't really, sometimes you couldn't see everything so great. So it was kind of funny, especially if you held it at an angle because of the different shades and such. But let's get off of that. Super Mario Land 2, again, referring to Wikipedia, again, major upsetting Wikipedia. Really appreciate them so much. And we'll probably get to other websites as well. But Wikipedia is a nice place to start every time I do these. 1992, a platform game developed and published by Nintendo for the Game Boy. It is the sequel to Super Mario Land. Though there's not really a whole lot of, in my opinion, storyline-wise, I don't think there's a whole lot of continuance to it, other than certain songs, we'll say. We'll get back to that. In Super Mario Land 2, the player assumes the role of the protagonist Mario, whose main objective is to reclaim his personal island, Mario Land, isn't that cute, from the clutches of his greedy rival, Wario. The gameplay builds and expands on that of its precursor with innovations carried over from Super Mario World. So yes, like I was saying before, this is probably the most similar, it's very similar to Super Mario World compared to, you know, the other Mario games that are out there. It's the most similar. And it's like a, you know, it's a Game Boy, you know, obviously, you know, downgraded version, that type of thing. But you have that overworld look and you're kind of moving around and such. Mario 3 was more boxy looking, so to speak. Like, the world was more boxy. You just go from this box to that box, you know, level 3, level 4, level 5, level 6. Where this one, it's a little more artistic looking, kind of like a Mario World. But unfortunately, no colors involved with this one. I'm not sure why they didn't re-release this on the Game Boy Color. They probably should have. I don't know why they didn't. Anyway, continuing, Super Mario Land 2 received critical acclaim upon release and sold over 11 million copies, becoming one of the most successful and highest-rated titles on the Game Boy. And I agree with that. Reviewers emphasize that the game surpassed its predecessor in all aspects. I agree with that, too. Super Mario Land 2 marks the debut appearance of Wario. Yes, this is the first time you hear of Wario, who would become a prominent character in the Super Mario series as the anti-hero of several games. Yep, he's basically like the evil, you know, villain. Like in Darkwing Duck, there's Negaduck, you know? He was like it was a great, great series of episodes where it's a Nega, like negative, or Negaduck, you know, it was the evil version of Darkwing Duck, basically, and he was a powerful leader. of all the other villains. It's an unbelievable series, but we'll get back to where we need to be. I'll backtrack. The Super Mario series is the anti-hero of several games. The first being this game's sequel, Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3. I will admit this right away. I'm not a fan of that one, but maybe we'll get around to that someday, like 2030 or something. I don't know. I'm not a fan. Anyhow, Wario Land 2, yeah, that was pretty good. Now, that was good. Really, really nicely done. It was a huge shocker. It was a late 90s release for the Game Boy Color, and wow, it was really good. Like, shockingly good. Anyhow, actually, I think it was just Super Game Boy. Where, yes, it's color if you put it in the Super Game Boy, and then it got, I think it was re-released for Game Boy Color right around the same time. I'm blanking, but that's not important right now. Super Mario Land 2 was re-released in 2011 as a downloadable, see, there you go, a downloadable title for the Nintendo DS and the Nintendo Switch in 2023 as part of the Nintendo Switch Online service. Well, I have it on the NES Mini. Yeah, how it's there, yeah, that's just how, it's just there, okay? But I've owned multiple titles of it, so I don't feel bad. It's, you know, it is what it is. Plot. Super Mario Land 2 takes place immediately following the events of Super Mario Land while Mario was away in Sarah. So I guess it continues. It doesn't really feel like it, but I guess so. Sarasaland, okay, a jealous childhood acquaintance named Wario puts an evil spell over Mario's private island, Mario Land. After several prior unsuccessful attempts, he finally takes over Mario's castle with the spell, brainwashing its inhabitants into believing Wario is their master and Mario is their enemy. Wario's motive behind this sudden attack is to steal Mario's castle out of a desire to have a palace of his own. Why not build your own somewhere else, bub? Anyhow, after traveling through Mario Land and collecting the 6 golden coins, like the commercial said back in the day, Mario regains entry to his castle. Inside, Mario confronts and defeats Wario, who shrinks and flees, breaking his spell and causing Mario's castle to revert to its normal form. And yes, which basically is like turning the M upside down back to turning the W back upside down to the M that it was before. That's about the main transformation. Anyhow, outside of that, yes, Wario is basically like in giant form when you're fighting him. He is massive. And then he shrinks down to more like a normal, I guess, human size, if you can call it that. As for the Game Boy gameplay, the objective of Super Mario Land 2 is to reach the end of each level. What a concept. Defeating or avoiding enemies while doing so. The game retains several enemies from the Mario series, such as the Goombas. Yep, those are fun. Koopa Troopa. And also introduces several new enemies. Enemies can usually be defeated by jumping on their head, but may also be defeated by different means, such as the use of the fireball. So yes, fireballs make a return. In Mario Land 1, it's like a bowling ball type of thing. But it also can break blocks. It's kind of interesting. That's what's an interesting innovation in Mario Land 1. Other established mechanics include warp pipes, which allow players to enter hidden areas and find shortcuts. Coins and question mark blocks, which hide coins and items. That's been around forever. Unlike in previous Mario games, coins are not accumulated to automatically grant extra lives. Yeah, see, instead, this is the first time, actually, this happened. Instead, they are used to play games in a special area that awards lives and power-ups. To gain lives, instead, the player must find hearts like they did in the previous Game Boy entry. Yeah, Super Mario Land 1. Yep, hearts are extra guys. After killing 100 enemies, a star drifts down to provide a short period of invincibility. So that's how you get the invincibility star. The star can also be found in other places in the game while Mario is invincible. The fifth and each subsequent enemy he provides will provide an extra life. Yeah, so yeah, that's a pretty cool effect. Kind of like in Super Mario World when you have like an invincibility. If you keep going and going for a while, you can really build up extra life. So that's always very helpful and awesome. And I remember, was it like a caterpillar level in Mario World? There's a part where you could really build up a lot of extra lives. And I remember the caterpillars give you two ups instead of one ups. Pretty cool. While its predecessor was similar to the original Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Land 2, it has more in common with Super Mario 3 and Super Mario World. There is an overworld map. The player is no longer restricted to moving only right in a stage. Yep, so that's always nice. Many stages contain higher and lower areas instead of entire stages at a single level, and any stage except for the introductory stage and boss level can be replayed multiple times. Yep, so you can maybe power up or something, you know, if there's like a power up there right away. But you can play other levels multiple times, which obviously in Mario 1 that was unheard of, in Mario 2 as well. Even in Mario 3, once you beat a level, it's over. So that's like Mario World right there. At the end of a level, there is a door that must be touched to clear a level. In addition, there is also a bell high above the door, which, if touched, activates a mini-game where the player can try to get either a power-up or one-ups. The game saves the player's progress after beating a stage, being the first Mario game released on a portable system to have a save feature. Yep, so it like automatically saves, which is pretty cool. There are 32 levels in total, based on several different theme zones. There are also secret levels that can be accessed by finding alternative exits, kind of like Mario World. Yep. Once a player clears or loses a life in the secret levels, they are returned to the level where the secret exit was found. Yep, which is unfortunate. Each zone has its own boss, which must be defeated to get the 6 golden coins. Yep, so like the crow character or like owl character in 3 zone and stuff. Yeah, I mean, 3 zone is one of my favorites. We'll get back to that in a moment. If the player loses all Mario lives, all the coins are retrieved and returned to the bosses. Oh boy, that sucks. Which must be defeated again to retrieve the coins. From the beginning of the game, the player may choose to complete the zones in any order. Yep, so there's no, it's not linear like other, even Super Mario World, it's pretty linear. So once you beat the boss, then you go to the next area, where this one, you can go to any of them. You can go to Mario Zone, Tree Zone, Pumpkin Zone. Yes, there's a Pumpkin Zone, which is very autumn-like. Tree Zone makes you think of spring and such. That's one of the levels that makes me want to play this game. There's also a drill effect, like when you push down, you know, if you can break through blocks if you're like a larger version of Mario, like Super Mario or whatever. So it's pretty cool. Mario Land 2 features 3 returning power-ups, the Super Mushroom, Fire Flower, and Starman. The Super Mushroom increases Mario's size. Big surprise there. Fire Flower gives you extra Fire Flowers. The Starman is that. This and that. There's also a carrot, though, which kind of has a... it turns Mario into like a bunny shape. Bunny Mario. So that's really weird. But I guess that's another reason to play this game in the springtime. Which is, again, like a spring feature. Kind of like an Easter-ish type of game, you could say. So, carrots. So, now it's 3 different versions of like a flying Mario type of thing. Where... which is funny. It's really interesting. Super Mario 3 had the leaf, which turns you into a raccoonish Mario where you can use the tail to fly. Super Mario World has feathers, which somehow turn you into like a super duper Mario. I don't know. Well, it's a Super Mario with a cape, like a caped Mario, superhero Mario, whatever you want to call him. You can float or fly with that. And this one, it's the rabbit ears when you're Bunny Mario. Isn't that weird? It's freaking weird. Bunny Mario can jump higher, jump repeatedly by holding down the jump button, and descend slowly using his ears. Yep, so like you're floating, basically, kind of descending downward, just like with, the raccoon and even the raccoon tail in 3 and the cape in 4 in World, pardon me. Upon collecting the golden coins, Mario's palace is unlocked, where Mario must fight Wario in the castle in the throne room. To defeat Wario, Mario must jump on his head 3 times. How original. A process that must subsequently be repeated in 2 additional rooms where Wario used power-ups identical to Mario. Yep, so like the final form is when he has firepower. He's like a super-sized kind of guy. That's really tough. So, yeah, that's the final form of the big guy named Wario. As for all of this, obviously there's the regular American box art in the Game Boy, the developers, Nintendo R&D1, publisher Nintendo, directors, Hiroshi Tahekito Hosokawa, Gunpei Yokoi is a producer, a programmer, Takahiro Harada, and Yuzuru Agawa, artists, Hiroji Kayotake, and Takahiko Hosokawa, and Makoto Kano. Those are the artists. Composer, Kazumi Totaka. Totaka, not too hard. Series Super Mario, platforms Game Boy. Platforms Game Boy, that's it. And then, of course, obviously the re-releases later on and those newer, downloads on the Nintendo DS and, of course, the, what do they call that thing? Yeah, 3DS part. I mean, not just the DS. Yep. And, of course, the Nintendo Switch in 2023. Releases, Japan, October 21st, 92. North America, November 2nd, 92. UK, November 28th, 92. European Union, January 28th, 93. Australia, mate, that would be March 12th, 1993. The genre is platform, and it is a single-player game. So, definitely a very, very fun, interesting, enjoyable Mario game on the Game Boy. Nice background. You get the water movement and all that such. Again, hearts are one-ups. Yeah, interesting such. You like the kind of... I like the movement of the characters in the game as well. Like, obviously, you got the Koopas and the Goombas and such. And also, the thing actually counts each time you hit a bad guy. Like, one, two, three, four, five. One up, one up, one up, one up. That type of thing. So, you'll know how many bad guys you've killed along the way, even though you think you'd already know anyway. But as Dirty Harry might say, I know what you're thinking. Did I kill four enemies or five? But to tell you the truth and all the excitement, I lost track myself. Now you got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Sorry, well, do you, gamer? Do you feel lucky getting that sixth bad guy to get the extra guys? Do you feel lucky? Also, again, there's midway checkpoints in the game, and I'll talk about that probably as I play it as well. Midway checkpoints, kind of like in Mario World, where you break the tape, so to speak, and you can continue there as a checkpoint in case you die or whatever, or leave the level or whatever the heck, mostly in case you die. You can continue from the checkpoint. And like I said earlier, the bell gets you to the bonus area, and coins are collected up to 999. There's a little hill looking thing you go to, and I'll talk about that later, I'm sure, as well, where you can go there and basically spin the wheel to try to get up to 99 lives or so on and so forth, depending on how many coins you have. But there's luck involved and maybe a little bit of skill as well. Swimming levels and such, we'll talk about that when we get there. But you can also jump higher by pressing up as you're jumping. I'm not sure that was mentioned in what I just said. In fact, I don't think it was. You can also jump higher with that, but I'm sure part of that's with the rabbit as well. With that said, I think I've talked enough. Really can't wait to get into this one, and I hope you feel the same. I hope you enjoyed the last couple of releases, Zelda Link's Awakening on Game Boy. That's the first Game Boy game ever released here on Video Game Flashback, and Golden Axe for the Sega Genesis. Somebody let me know how you felt about those, and don't be afraid to give me feedback about previous releases. You could talk about all the way back to Combat, which was like the first of the releases here in the 2020s. Before that, the last released game review was a YouTube video in 2008. That's how far back Video Game Flashback goes, but it was in hiatus forever and ever and ever, basically, about 14 years, which is unheard of in the podcasting world. Unheard of. In fact, well, it never really was a podcast until the pilot episode. With that said, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. And let's finally get on to Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. All right, let's get this party started. So you're going to start off with three pipes, A, B, and C. And you can see a little clear button as well. You go up there, see if you want to get rid of something. Maybe you can figure that out on your own. But start off from 0-0, of course. That's when there's nothing to start with. You go into the mushroom-shaped place. This is a basically start-off stage. When you press pause, the screen kind of flashes black and white, but the music does stop. So that's a good thing. But check out the original level music, I suppose. It's the most common level music in the game. Pretty much right away you feel like you're playing a Mario game, you know, even all the coins and such. So it's a great vibe to this game. The pipes, the movement going in and through the pipes is a lot of fun as well. The movement is actually pretty nice. Again, not a very complicated first level, so pretty much work your way through that and then you can get into the regular levels. At the end of the day, you'll also notice the game, it's just a very upbeat game, isn't it? Like the level music and such, and just kind of the whole vibe to it. Very upbeat, so that's another reason to really like the game. Again, the fire flowers do not make, they make certain blocks go away. Pardon me, good thing I said that at the right place, at the right time. The blocks that look like they have little eyes, kind of, those go away with fire shots. For the regular looking blocks, you can power through those when you're at least the size of Super Mario by pressing down as you're jumping. Obviously, again, usually the bonus stage or bonus game area is higher than the regular door, so if you can reach it, Try to get it, try to figure it out. The first one's pretty self-explanatory. There's also multiple versions of little mini-games, like the little hand thing like you might have had at Perkins. There's like three-up possibilities, carrots and fire flowers. I try to get the three-ups if I can, but sometimes you just can't, so it's all about timing it. Well, in this case, I went from a fire flower to another fire flower, but that's how that goes. Now we actually get to the real level, and you get to hear the overworld music. Well, actually, I played, I guess, already. So the little hill or mound-looking thing that you can go into, that's where the major gambling area is with your coins. Well, it's not really gambling, but kind of, trying to get, you know, big prizes and such. I often start off with tree zone. So basically kind of head up and to the left a bit, and you'll see what looks like a tree. Go inside, and you get to hear the cool song there. Not too bad, not too great. Obviously, a lot of the songs sometimes are cooler than others, but in a lot of ways, it's a it's a vibe of kind of like a loop. It'll loop and loop and loop over and over again. The levels are not numbered, and they're not all mandatory as long as you get to the boss. And you can see the boss is like a big giant crow-looking thing. The first two levels are, kind of self-explanatory in a lot of ways where, you know, you're outside the tree, you're going within the tree, so you get to see sap and such. One was like an ant kingdom or a bee kingdom. You can defeat both or just one or the other, and then ultimately head to that crow's nest and battle him to get the first golden coin. Ooh. But as you enter the first level, you'll hear a new level song, so we're going to play that now. It's another upbeat, kind of like, let's get going type of song, I guess you could say. Have I mentioned I like the music in this game? I do. It's very, I don't know how to explain it. It's just nice. It's just nice, isn't it? I mean, this is kind of like Link's Awakening in a way where it's just better than you, it's better than you'd expect for a Game Boy game. It's chill, it's fun, but it is Super Mario Land 2, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't just some, you know, fly-by-night series that came out of nowhere and never did anything. This is Mario Land 2. You'll also notice kind of a little bit funky animation when characters get shot with the fire flower, the way they kind of go off the screen. It's kind of funny, but that's how the Game Boy was in its fairly early days in 92. So, yeah. You'll see some fairly new enemies here, like like a frog-like character, which is kind of funny, and a dragonfly that's kind of like pointing upward as it's flying. It's kind of weird. But, yeah, it's facing upward, I guess you could say. Interesting way of putting it, but, yeah. Those can be annoying because they can kind of surprise you as you're jumping upward. And then the other version of the, well, you could call it the mini game. This one is like you're kind of pressing, I don't know, like an igniter or whatever, where it's like setting off a bomb underneath the prize, underneath Fire Flower again, but I lost my power anyway, so whatever. I got my power back. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. Now you go inside the tree and a part where you get to see the sap, so you're going to be, it's kind of like a, kind of like an underground world, you could call it. And you get to hear that song now, which is actually quite enjoyable. So the sap has kind of like a water effect, the tree sap. That's clearly what that is, tree sap. Kind of, so treat it like as if you're swimming through water. You can kind of jump into it and such and kind of float around, but you will fall out eventually as you, you know, grab onto the sap that is sticking away from the ceiling. It's interesting. It's a fun level. I like this level. It's very enjoyable. Not everybody likes it, but I certainly do. I also do believe, unless it's in Mario World, I'm blanking right now, that there's side pipes, say, where you can kind of go from one area of the level to the other. But, you know, it's like it's linear in a sense. If you're going to beat the level, you got to go through it. And it's just, it's real quick. It's instant. So that may be a new innovation in this game. Getting the bell at the end of this level is extremely easy. You just kind of jump with the, you just kind of work your way through the sap to grab it. It's like beyond easy. It's awesome. So take advantage of that, I suppose. Finally got a 3-up. Yep, and they grab the Perkins slash State Fair slash Valley Fair, you know, robot hand grabbing the prize type of deal. You know that. You know that thing. You know that thing, right? Okay, just kidding. So the ant level and the bee level coming up. The ant level's fun. Let's go there first. I'm gonna review both. Obviously not going to talk that much about it and drag the game review on forever here. And no, I'm not going to play the same song over and over and over again for every time you go to a level, but I'll play it off and on certain, you know, like, so it's not, like, completely invisible. This one, you're kind of floating around on leaves and such, so, yep. But it's a fun level for the most part, but there's definitely falling hazards and such, yep. But you seem to be, there's definitely a nice supply of extra guys everywhere with hearts in a lot of these levels, so that certainly helps. This is one of those keep going up, up, up levels, and you might potentially fall down, down, down as well. Definitely where you could maybe save yourself, but you got to do like the whole level again, that type of deal. It's funny also watching the ants walk around so slowly. It's again, I don't know, it's just like a Game Boy speed thing. It's just, I don't know, it's not like Nintendo where it's slow motion. It's just how fast the character moves. It's kind of funny. And one of the most bizarre characters in the entire game are those flying beetle bug-looking things, whereas when you get close to them, they kind of fly away at an angle, and you could never really hit them, except maybe if you have fire flower, or, you know, fireballs, whatever. Otherwise, I don't understand the point of those. It's weird. They just kind of fly away. I've never understood that one. It's just, it's a mystery to me, and it, I don't know, it like eats at me every time I play this game. And unless you got one in the, you know, the random, you know, robot hand game, you know, bonus game, this is the first level you can get a carrot during the course of the level. It's between two boxes. You know, it's between them. It's an invisible box, that type of thing. Or sometimes that happens in Mario games. And you can float across picking up coins and such, getting to the next set of leaves. It's, It's fun. It's fun. The game's more fun when you have the rabbit ears. The game just feels so much easier when you have those, but obviously you can still screw up like a million times over. Plus, in the bonus game, what if you end up grabbing the fire flower accidentally? It's like, aw, man. But, oh well. Luckily, I got the three up again. I'm just dominating, eh? Dominating, baby. We're going to go to the Beehive next. Isn't that fun? I do believe that will be a new song, so we're going to get ready to go for that one. I call it the Submarine Song, because it's kind of an indoor level, but not like a... It's like indoors, but not like undergroundish, like the other one. Another Game Boy game with awesome music. So cool, isn't it? I picked two of the absolute best Game Boy games when music-wise and such. It's tempting to take the Fire Flower. I'm going to stick with the rabbit ears. It's up to you what you want to do. This might be a better level of the Fire Flower with all the baddies coming around, you know, the bees that come out. You can still stomp on their head in real life. I guess you could if you're wearing shoes. If not, you'd get stung and stuff, but... I believe there's also skeleton-type bees that come out. So, again, the animation's kind of funny. Oh, it's just oddly slower than you'd expect, say, like in an NES game. It's weird. Then you have this harmless little, wimpy little, I guess they're bee larvae. They're not caterpillars. You might think they are. That's bee larvae. That's mean. You're stomping on bee larvae? They don't even get to get born? That's naughty. So we can't say this is the most environmentally friendly game that way. We're killing bee larvae. That's kind of naughty. I mean, but, well, I think I've repeated myself enough. Keep playing. Watch out for a character that you can... there's characters... I know there's ants later on that have a similar effect where you can tell they're meaner than others. It looks like a bee larvae type character with an angry face. You walk up to it, the spikes are going to come out. You could probably see that coming because, you can kind of see... Let's get to the end of the level. It's another very, very easy goal. You know, what do they call that? The bell. Because there's just an invisible block, like, slightly below the other one. You know, like, to an angle a little bit closer to the left. It's not complicated at all to figure out. And, there you go. You get some free, another free item of some sorts. And then we get to head to the boss level next. Let me just tell you, this is a wonderful level to have the rabbit ears. Holy cow. Holy cow. Whether you're trying to get better reception on your old TV or it's Easter or both, which it's basically Easter-ish as I'm recording this. Easter-ish. It's not quite Easter at the moment that I'm recording this particular segment, but you get the idea. It's springish. It's springish and it's the most adorable thing ever. What's up with this one-way tube crap? But, why do they do that? I have no idea. Just to be jerks. But again, rabbit ears. Without the rabbit ears, I would have just died about 15 times. So, make note of that. And then you get to the mean crow-like, very shaggy, ragged-looking, haggard-looking crow. It's ugly. And it looks like it's sitting on an egg, but it's just the golden coin. Here's your first major boss, and listen to your boss music. Thank you. like most bosses in this game, you just kind of wait for the opportunity to bounce on their head, and that's about it. So it's kind of simple and basic. But certain bosses later on are much harder than this guy. This guy is just kind of up and down, and you just hit him on his way up. Like, wow, that's so hard. It's just so hard, I'm going to cry. But then when you do say goodbye to him, you get the victory music, and you get to hear the golden coin and all that cute stuff. It's nice. Well, it's a nice feeling to get your first golden coin. It's funny how the door leading into the castle says Mario Land 2. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad we know what game we're playing. It's kind of funny. But then you get to see like a flag with an X over the level as you exit. So obviously that means you've completed it. And you'll also notice that the boss is missing at the top of the tree. So, because the boss has taken a loss. Traditionally, I tend to go to the pumpkin zone next. Kind of a fun level. I tend to enjoy it. And this is like when I remember playing this in like October-ish, Halloween-ish. I think the first time I ever borrowed this from a friend back in the day was around that time, so it fit in nicely. Later on, I borrowed it again from, I don't know if it was the same friend. I don't think it was. In the springtime, and I ended up keeping it because he wanted to sell it anyway. So that's what kind of attracted me to playing this game. Traditionally around, yeah, you know, like springtime, March, April-ish. Yeah, so that's why we're recording it around March, April-ish. It's all about me, damn it. No, it's not, but Pumpkin Zone, here we go. And now you get the first, like, you know, one of the haunted, well, I guess it's that same song as when you're inside the tree, but, well, maybe we don't need to play that yet at the moment, but we will be playing another more entertaining one coming up. I love that song. Right away, the first monster you see, it looks like a Jason mask with a knife in it, just like, what would it be? Jason, right? That would be, Friday the 13th part 4, I believe, is when you have the knife going into the mask. So yeah, okay, Jason, welcome aboard. It's got the classic haunted house look, but this officially isn't the haunted house part. It's one of the future levels, but it's got the lanterns, the bricks in the background. You know, it's pretty cool. It's fun, enjoyable look and background and such. So I guess that first level was technically a morgue, as you see it's a bunch of caskets and stuff. And the last character at the end kind of hiding, it's not a boss, it's kind of in the upper area where you're trying to reach the bell to get to the bonus screen and all that, is a strange looking, I don't know what you'd call it, I don't even know, like a haunted character that's throwing crows, kind of. It's kind of a cool looking character. The next level is a cemetery, and then the next level after that will be the haunted house, and then eventually a skull, which is where the boss is. So to the cemetery we go next, I guess. Same song as before, it's an enjoyable, that undergroundy song, and you have weird looking, I don't know what they are, lanterns sticking tongues out you that damage you, so watch out for those guys. Into the haunted house we go, time for some fun, entertaining music, at least in my opinion. Isn't that fun? I like that song. It's like a remix of something in Mario Land, if I remember correctly. I believe that's when you go underground in that one. And you have ghostly Goombas. Goombas. Pretty much stay away from those. The fire flower doesn't work, and I don't think you can stomp on them either. I'm not going to even take my chance from what I remember. I remember getting mad at those in the past. So, a Goomba ghost. That's new. That was never in any Mario game in the past. Remember, you had zombie Koopas in Mario World. Now you have ghost, whatever they're called. Ghost Goombas. Goomba ghosts. Say that fast three times. Goomba ghosts, Goomba ghosts, Goomba ghosts. Okay. I guess I can do it. I don't know. And it's confirmed you cannot step on the Goomba ghosts or Ghost Goombas or Goomba ghosts. You can't step on them either. They're pretty much immortal unless you have a star. Wonderful. You also have disappearing and reappearing blocks, which is okay. You can step on invisible blocks, so that's good. But they appear and disappear. It makes it a little challenging, but it's not that hard if you can just kind of pay attention. That kind of thing. Okay, it's not that easy, but it's not that hard either. And of course, you have the shy ghost deal that are in Mario World. You look at them, they don't want to approach you. You look away, they approach you. It's pretty much it. And the level's over, and you're very happy, and you go to the boss, the final level again, which apparently is a witch. Ooh. First, though, backtracking to the haunted house, there is a secret exit, basically. So when you get the carrot, try to stay as high as you can. And no, I don't mean on drugs or anything. Just try to stay high as you can and work your way across, you know, without getting hit if you can. Eventually, you'll get to a door with a star above it. That is a special ending, so to speak. And you can go to a secret stage outside. So, yeah, it's important that I mention this kind of stuff because what kind of game review is it if I don't? There's another ending as well, special exit from the the graveyard as well. Pretty much similar where you want to get as high as possible to find it. That type of deal. So, yeah. As for that special stage, it looks a lot like Mario 1 in a lot of ways with the mushroom-like platforms. You know, like World 1-3 and Mario 1, that kind of thing. I'm kind of floating around that type of deal. But, yeah, it's just fun. You know, you add, like, another stage to your repertoire and, like, wow, I beat another one. Kind of like in Mario World. It's not like, you know, it's kind of like a, I guess, it just feels like you've completed the game type of vibe. And, yes, having the rabbit ears helps a lot in this level because you're kind of up and around and stuff, and you're in dangerous areas and all that, and it's scary. Yep, it's scary as heck. Yeah, if you make a mistake, just you try not to do that and all of that. So yeah, enjoy. For me, my goal is just to finish the dang level, and that's it. And that's pretty much what I just did. So I'm happy. And I'm happy that I'm happy too, like Terrell Brandon of the Timberwolves years ago. But now we can finally actually go to that witch's level. Sorry. Ah, yes, what a pleasure indeed. Well, not really. It's kind of that haunted house-ish look, but not quite. You have what looks like a headless fish bouncing around. I don't know, or it's a leech. I don't know. Interesting, and you have these look like pots that are about to overflow, and of course that'll be part of the battle with the witch at the end of this level, and then you get your sixth golden coin, or, well, second of the six golden coins of them. Who knows what the heck I'm trying to say. You also have bouncing brooms you can jump on the top. What is this, Fantasia or something? Mickey Mouse? No, I don't know. I like it. One complaint I might have that's kind of lame, the lit candles in the background don't move. What the heck? That's dumb. But at least there's the lighting effect around them, I suppose. It's adorable. And as you get to the witch, well, there's three pots that are on the kettle, so to speak. Yep, you can obviously, your goal is to jump on the witch. But watch out where she throws the fireball, because that means that pot is going to overflow and push you up to what look like horns sticking down from the ceiling. And that's how she can damage you, among other ways, of course, as well. Again, the goal is to jump on her head three times. Not too hard, but not too easy either, because of those stupid horns and all of that. There's not a whole lot of room to move around. But once you do beat her, it's a bleeping relief. And the golden coin comes out of the center pot. I suppose you kind of figured that would happen. And now you have two golden coins. You're one-third into the game, supposedly. It's just a rumor, though. I guess now we're going to venture to Turtle Zone. Get to hear the magic as the turtle swallows you like Jonah. What a peaceful place. So now we're underwater, I guess, in a turtle. Somehow this turtle, this giant turtle, swallowed a whale and what looks like half of a submarine. But first of all, you're going to be kind of hanging out in an area that looks kind of like underneath an island and around an island. So there's three levels. Let's get started. And yes, as suspected, it is a, it's kind of an in and out kind of island, watery. You're above ground, you're under, or you're above water, you're underwater, collecting coins and shooting at fishy fishies, like the cheap cheeps from Mario 1 and all that, Mario 3. And you also get whale-like characters. Those can't be damaged from fireballs, so that's annoying and dangerous. So be careful. It looks like a little shark, actually. Or killer whale or shark, whatever the hell it is. It's a dangerous item. Some of the cheap sheets look like they're crying, but I don't know. That's probably not necessarily what's happening. But sorry if I'm mumbling here. You also have electric eel-looking characters that turn into, I don't know if they're electric eel or a catfish or something. You know, those long fish with kind of, I don't know, wide fins kind of look like an eel, like a catfish, more or less. And then it turns into like a blowfish with, you know, spikes and stuff. So, weird. Not too hard of a level. There's also a money bag kind of in a semi-secret spot where you're kind of like swimming around and jumping up on thin little ledges where a shark is swimming through a pathway. So, careful around there. But, yeah, not that hard. Now we get to venture our way into the submarine level. Actually, one of my favorite levels in the game and one of my favorite songs in the game, too. On a very weird side note, there's a house like where I grew up, you know, like in the neighborhood where, you know, my parents still live and all that. I always think of this song when I see the house because it kind of has a submarine-ish look, like it's got those small little round windows or square windows, I guess, but they're small. And it's kind of long. It's kind of a long house, and it's got those little windows kind of going along the way. It just makes me think of this song and this level. It's kind of funny. So this is one of the more memorable levels in the game, in my opinion. You get fish bones, which are indestructible. How annoying, but I guess they are. And the sharks are indestructible as well, unless you have like a starman or something along those likes. You also have the sea urchin type things, which are, you know, about what you expect from other Mario games or any game, really. Giant bullet bills. Ugh, annoying. So it's not like it's an easy level, but it's kind of fun and it's memorable, I guess, in its own way. Yeah, in its own way. Ugh, I just got hit point blank by a bullet bill. Good job, Joe. Good job, man. After a while, you will feel the levels a little bit on the tedious side. Again, it's memorable, but it just kind of keeps going and going and going and going. And yeah, exactly. And let me tell you, this level is extremely stingy with power-ups. Like, what's up with that? Maybe I don't like this level as much. I remember this being funner. It's not that fun lately. I don't know. It's not fun anymore. I want to go home, Mommy. I don't like this anymore. I mean, every doggone Mickey frickin' like question mark, like say an isolated one, it's just a coin. Give me a damn mushroom or something. I'm dying here, literally. Yeah, at least Mario is at times. Even getting the frickin' bell is tedious. Like this one, you can actually get extra shots at it, but it's tedious and annoying. Jeez, just reach the bell already, you little schmuck. What a relief it's over, though. So now we're going to go to the giant whale, which is the, giant whale. We're going to go to the whale, the blue whale. Whales are giant. The blue whale, I guess, is what it is. It's Monstro reincarnate. I don't know, whoever it is. Maybe it's Monstro's, like, great-grandson or something, because Pinocchio's pretty old. Yeah, great-great-great-great-grandson. I don't know how long whales live, but, we're going in the whale. It's the final level of Turtle Zone already. This level's actually kind of semi-memorable, I suppose. You also get some interesting looking characters that, maybe I like this one more. It's also got that, it's a fun one. You can see all the little cells moving around and such. I actually kind of like it, but again, you know, all the ribs and bones and stuff are, you know, they replaced all the other like barriers and spikes in the submarine. These are like bones moving around, which, you know, kill you just as easily. So, yeah, be aware of lots and 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 lots of hazards. But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, it's kind of fun. How's the play, Mrs. Lincoln? It's okay. It's not as bad as it could have been in 1865, I suppose. The boss in this level is an octopus. So this is like the final boss for Turtle Zone, or the boss of Turtle Zone. You kind of handle him pretty much the same, kind of moving around and jumping on his head pretty much. And away we go. Luckily, there's no ceiling hazard like in Mega Man or something. Like you jump too hard and boom, you hit the spikes. So you don't have to worry about that. Pretty much just jumping on his head and watch out for the little squid octopuses that come out. Yeah, cute. Not super easy, but definitely not hard. And you get your third golden coin, at least in my case, depending on how you go. And we're kind of, sort of, halfway through the game, other than the final level. So, outside of the final level, we're halfway through the game. Yeah. Right now I have the tree, the pumpkin, and the turtle. The turtle, you accursed turtles! Yes, Shredder. Yes, Shredder. We got rid of the accursed turtle. So, I guess we're going to go to... There's Mario Zone, there's Macro Zone, which is like a house type of thingy-dingy. And I believe Star, Moon and Star Zone. I guess it's Star Zone, something like that. It's adorable. Yep. That one you have to like kind of earn your way through the through a hippopotamus. I usually save that for last. So we're going to go to Mario Zone next. Mozzarella Zone. Listen to Mario Zone and do enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Mario Zone. Looks kind of like a Pinocchio, like a wooden figurine, you know, or like a Nutcracker or a Mr. Potato Head, Mr. Mario Head. Whatever he looks like, that's pretty much it. The levels look kind of, I don't know, like a lot of machinic kind of stuff on the inside. But yeah, not too bad. Kind of fun, kind of cute, I guess. Obviously, this Mario figurine is a machine of some sort. So yeah, that's why you have a lot of little gears and stuff, or should we say very large gears. It's like, and then there's a level coming up later where it's Macro Zone. Everything's gigantic, like for Nephilim Giants and stuff. So there I go, talking about Nephilim Giants again. Freedom of Thought reference. It's actually kind of similar to some of those really annoying levels in Super Mario World, but not as hard, where you have like the moving parts and stuff, you know, those. But it's not that hard, but you can see the parts and such. It's like similar. Yep, and the gears, you can kind of catch on to different parts of the gear, like, if that makes sense, like different teeth on the gear. You could be halfway up, you could be all the way up, especially on the spinning gears and all that cute stuff. Let me tell you, the rabbit ears come in insanely valuable in this level, at least in the first level, but probably throughout the whole zone. The second level, it looks like a bunch of bocce balls and hungry hippos type of characters. Flying Goombas, isn't that cute? The flying Goombas, they're so intimidating. No, they're not. But you gotta like the up and down eyebrows they always have. They look like Bert from Bert and Ernie. They really do. Stop it, Ernie! Shut up, Ernie! Sorry. Of course, they're not hungry hippos. They're like pigs, I guess, shooting small bocce balls out. They're kind of like mobile bullet bills, but not as fast. Yeah, and they're not as powerful as the bullet bills, I guess. They're not as big and intimidating looking, but they're still what they are. They're slow piggies. Cute little sections. Of course, I picked the wrong one because I suck. God. The one I get is the Goomba where you're jumping up. It's kind of like a miniature bonus area where you could get a carrot, a mushroom, yay, which would actually be a downgrade. The carrot, the mushroom, the fire flower, or a Goomba. I got the Goomba. Isn't that great? It's just the one out of 75% chance you're going to get something. What do I get? The Goomba. Yeah, it's just wonderful. You know, it's just absolutely great. But luckily, the level is actually a heck of a lot easier than level one. This is the level where you were kind of like in the shutters, you could say, you know, around the stomach of Mozzarella. Now I'm at the tongue. How adorable. Nasty. No, this is a kind of cool graphic effect. You got like large mushrooms in the background, kind of like wallpaper, I guess. A nutcracker looking guy. This is more like a toy zone, you could say. And this basically, yep, and you also have you can ride like a cannonball thingy over spikes. I don't know what the point is. If you have the, it does blow up though. You got to worry about that. And you got bullet bills. It's annoying. Yeah, one of those kind of levels, I guess. Suffice to say, there's a lot of hazards, but thankfully there's a decent amount of power-ups in this particular level, unlike the stupid submarine, which I thought I liked. I don't know if I like the submarine anymore. It's what I would classify as subpar. See what I got? See what I did there? It's subpar? Okay, sorry. I had to do it, though, because it's true. And the very last clamp thingy, you know, where it looks like you're a prize or something, can potentially lead you to the bell, but it lets you go a little bit, slightly before you get to the bell, so that's kind of mean, and you're flip-sundered if you're not paying attention. Yeah, you don't die or anything, you're going to miss out. There's no way you can get back up there, so it's really fun. Thanks so much. But now off to the final level of Mario Zone. It is up in the hat, like the head. You move the M out of the way. Not for McDonald's, but for Mario. Yeah, I think you figured that out way before I did. It took me a minute. Looks like a bunch of Legos. It's a Lego-y level, like toys and such again. Music is upbeat, blah, blah, blah. Bricks in the background. It's cute and fun. And it's the last level of Mario Zone. Yeah, do enjoy it. Obviously, all kinds of hazards, like always. Spinning stuff. Spinning spikes around balls. They're orbiting the ball, I guess. It's just like the solar system, because the Earth is round, by the way. Yeah. No, I'm not a flat earther. And I don't hate you if you are. So I'm not going to make fun of you or anything. What's the point? You know, what do I get out of it? And the final boss, so to speak, for the Mario Zone is one of the fun, unique type of bosses you can imagine in this game. The three little pigs. The first pig has the straw house. Then you have the wood house and the brick house. So basically, the first little piggy is, and I do believe you only have to jump on their heads once, is not very mobile. He's easy to get. The second one's more mobile, and the last one's very mobile. The one with the, he jumps a lot higher and moves faster, the one in the brick house. So it's kind of similar. Like, the brick house is the one that's not going to be damaged in the storm. He's a smart piggy. Like, the straw one basically just rolls on the ground. Jeez. You do have to jump on their heads three times, which is kind of annoying because I forgot. I thought it was like one at a time, each of them, but it's three times. So that's what I get for not paying attention. Make sure you center your jumps and such, because if you miss even by a slight of margin, you're going to get injured or whatever. You know what I mean? Killed or whatever the heck. But yeah, they get faster and faster. So it's kind of a triple boss, which is not necessarily an easy thing. You got to endure. Make absolute use of the high jump, meaning pressing up when you press the jump button. And you should be okay. You should be able to beat them without even getting hit if you're, you know, solid about it. And you get your fourth golden coin, at least in my case, and it looks like Mario. So, cute. Next order of business, Macro Zone. Macro Zone it is. I don't know if Nephilim Giants used to live here or what, but looks like it. Oh, the ants are awfully large too, but I suppose you have the ants in the tree zone as well. Nothing super exciting about this level necessarily, just there's a number of levels and such. So, and watch out for the ants that have spikes. You can kind of see them. They walk very slowly, and then as you get close to them, the spikes come out. So do not jump on those. It's the way it is. Fudge knucking. They're so annoying to deal with. Another level where the rabbit ears come in pretty handy, no doubt about it. And not just to adjust the reception on your television back in those days. But, yeah, no, the rabbit ears come in very handy. Hope to God you don't get hit or anything stupid like that, because you'll be saying a word that rhymes with hit if you do. You'll also say that if you accidentally grab the fire flower in the little prize deck at the end, because it takes the banana ear, or the banana ears, the rabbit ears away, and you end up with fire flowers. Oh, well. But away we go to the next level, I guess. Thankfully, the next level reeks of more traditional Super Mario Brothers, you know, with, you know, the ants instead of Goombas and the piranha plants coming out of the pipes. So fire flowers actually come in probably more handy in this level anyway, so I guess I don't need to complain all too much until I bump into the stupid piranha plant because I just slipped. How cute of me, huh? As you get to the end, you get those mysterious cicada-like bugs that you can't hit. They fly away before you can hit them. I don't know. I guess you can hit them if you have fire flower, but maybe you don't have to anyway, because they don't really damage you, and it's always a relief to get through the level, of course. The next level's kind of inside the house and all that. It's okay. It's not that bad. It's not that good. It's not too exciting, but I can imagine rabbit ears coming in handy here, and it sure appears to be lots of little Goombas and traditional Mario stuff, I guess. You have like a, I guess you can call it a, I don't even remember what we call those darn things, those moving platforms, I guess. It's not, what the heck do they call it? Escalator. Yeah, it's an escalator, but it doesn't go up. It's just, you know, a flat escalator, like at the airport type of thing, where it just shows the arrows. Nothing's moving, it's just the arrows are pointing a certain way. So look at it in that sense. I know, it's terrific play-by-play conversation here. Well, I suppose I could do a Kevin Harlan when you jump and you land on, you know, like a turtle or a Goomba. Up high, down hard! They call that the high hard one! Yeah, well, that's when you stomp on bad guys. So if Kevin Harlan was calling Mario while, he's playing Mario and calling the game as he's playing it, or calling it for someone else as they're playing it. That's probably about what it would sound like. Unfortunately, there's no googly, oogly, oogly, baby, or anything like that, but I know, sorry, that's a local reference to the old days of the Minnesota Timberwolves. This level reeks of secrets, like there's a secret exit. I'm not sure if I'm going to find it, though, anytime soon. Then as you get further in the level, there's those hard-to-reach jump areas where you got to, you know, without hitting the ceiling type of thing. It's kind of like a brick house, bricks. Kind of looks like a cellar or something, or like a incinerator, like from the old days type of thing. Hard-to-reach jumps and such, where Angry Video Game Nerd would have a field day with that. This bleeping jump, and you can just walk over it and all that kind of stuff. Yes, you can. You can just walk over it, but I guess there's no real secret around here, but I think there is a secret above where the bell is. I think there is, but I didn't get there, so I'll maybe try again and get back to you on that one if I feel like it. If I feel like it, I'm Randy Mossing it. Well, final level we go into the Makru Zone, and it looks like a library, books and such. Similar to the last level, but now we get books added to the picture with the Goombas doing their little up and down eyebrow look like, well, ha ha ha, back at you. All it takes is a couple of boots to the top of the head and you won't be doing that much longer. Bit of that. This level also has that haunted house music, I guess, so good for them. That's kind of how that rolls. Apparently I'm maxed out in coins, so keep an eye on that. I'm literally, like, when I'm grabbing coins, I'm throwing them away technically, because 999 is the max. So when you get to that, go to the gambling hill thingy, whatever it is, and gamble and get your hopefully 99 guys or 30 guys or 10 guys or whatever it is, and I'll get back to you on what I got whenever I get there after this level, apparently. So the boss of this level is a mouse. That's right, a giant mouse that's going through the, the Mario pipes from the side, from the right and the left and such. So, self-explanatory, jump on his head, but unfortunately, when he's climbing upward, he will poke you with his, spear nose type of thing, and you're going to get mad, because he's not real he's kind of fast. He has that, I'm trying to remember which Koopa he's reminding me of when he goes up and down the walls and such. Really annoying to deal with, actually. It's a little punk. But luckily he's dead too, and on we go. That is, I believe, 4 coins already, so wahoo. That leaves Star... Nope, that's 5 coins, so that does leave Star Zone remaining. Yeah, that is 5 coins already. Rock on, Mario was 4th coin in this world, so Star Coin is next, and then some special levels, and off to Wario's Castle we go. But first I'm going to go to the gambling place right now. To get to the Star Zone, you got to go to the Hippopotamus way up in the north west area. But I'm going to go into this mound, as we can call it. I don't know if they buried giants here thousands of years ago. I'm obsessed with stuff. but now we're going to gamble basically with the 999 coins. And I got 500 coins back. That's probably the worst thing that could happen, just about. Wow. That's great. That's just wonderful. I didn't even know you could do that. I thought it was like 20 guys. That's not great, but oh well, it's better than nothing. I got 500 coins back. So basically, I just threw away, 499. Just threw them in the garbage. That's just absolutely exquisite. Like, great job, Joey. I feel so proud of myself right now. I couldn't even tell you. So way up we go to the stupid hippo thing. Not Hungry Hippo, but Stupid Hippo. We can start there and continue on to the final levels of the game, I guess. Well, the Star Zone, anyway. Because, of course, you go up to the hippo, like I said 50 times already, and it's a level in itself. So, yeah. Basically, what you want to do is float on the bubble with the hippo. Kind of like, almost like having the cape, in a way, in Super Mario World. I do believe the bubble can run out after a while, though, so be aware of that. You can try to pick up as many coins as possible. Otherwise, try to just work your way to the right as much as possible. Of course, there are many hazards along the way that will try to burst your bubble, but the level's not too hard at all. You get to the goal, you get to the the bell and everything, to get to the extra stage where you could try to get some extra power-ups and stuff. I've gone through this routine about 50 times already. But then now you finally get to the real Star Zone and can hear the music and you get to see shooting stars in the background. Kind of cool. But first it's the moon and then the actual star. I guess it's space zone. Sorry, space zone. So it's the moon and then the star in Space Sound. Check out the music. Ah, as Charlie Brown once said, I'm going to kick that football clear to the moon. Well, I don't see the football or anything. Of course, the gravity is less here. You can jump and kind of really go for a while. The music is adorable in this level. Maybe I can play it. I do believe the song is played earlier on this show, but if not, there it was. So sometimes, I don't know, maybe not, but yeah, it's entertaining. There's all different ways to get hurt, of course, and you don't want to balance yourself. Unfortunately, I got I went from the fire flower to the rabbit ears, which do me basically no good here. You can't really float with them. There is a secret exit as well that it's above the bell. So be my guest if you want to go there. Otherwise, to the star we go. It's one of those scrolling levels that's not easy at all. There's basically no gravity here. Pretty much there's no gravity here. You're walking on a star, I guess, and then there's other tiny stars that can kill you, either standing in place or floating up and down. So, interesting level. Definitely not easy by any by any realm of imagination, that's for sure. You literally float by pressing the A button, like you jump, but you kind of stay jumping, so to speak. And you can kind of jump in air, sort of. So to speak, again. So, yeah, that's the kind of level it is. It's actually one of the more annoying levels probably in the entire game because it just feels like it goes on forever and ever and ever, and eventually you make a mistake, and then guess what? You know, now you get to do the whole damn level over again. So, yeah, be aware of that. And once you finally reach the wall at the end, by the grace of God, there is a power-up before you go in the tube, and what do you think's in the tube? The boss for the whole level. So, yeah. This one is, it's the final boss from Super Mario Land 1 reincarnated, or whatever, he's just back, and this guy's not easy at all. You gotta really time your moves and such. He's got multiple attacks, so yeah, not easy. Like a high and low attack, and the low attack shoots up to get you. He's not an easy guy. I remember really getting frustrated with this SOB. You have to actually wait for him to come down, too. That's the really annoying part. You can't just, like, go up and hit him, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, yeah, really fun stuff. The cool part is, though, you can hit him 3 times in a row if you're patient as he's coming back up. So that's when he goes from super hard to not too hard at all. You get your 6th golden coin, so now the door is going to open. Rock and roll. If you want to look for any other special exits, again, be my guest for, like, some special zones and such. There is one in the moon. the basically it's like a third level basically above the like the bonus area. Otherwise, I guess that's pretty much it. And off to Wario's castle / Mario's castle we go. Maybe try to get a power up in the hill, you know, the big hill where you can get power ups and such. Maybe try to go there quick. And yeah, you don't want to go there small, like a small little Mario. You really don't. One way or another, it's Wario's castle. You get to hear the intro song and then the actual level. Ooh, good times. It's showtime. There's no more bleeping around, as here we are. Right away, you get greeted with a spinning, like, morning star type thing. Pretty scary. And, of course, the fire flowers that remind you of Super Mario 3. Fire flower statue type things that spit out fire. And then a big giant one. Boy, does that rabbit here come in handy in a place like this. As long as, hopefully, to watch where you're going at all times. Then you get pits, you get this, you get that, so all kinds of challenges you're going to run into in this place. No doubt about it. You get the moving platforms over the lava. You know, classic stuff, right? Time it, time your jumps, duck, this and that. Then you get an area coming up after you get through those platforms. One of the last one's pretty tough. You have to really time your jump and duck immediately after you land on the platform, the moving platform. And then you get to an area where there's switches on the ground, so try to avoid them if you can. Otherwise, you get Wario fists coming down to smash you. Good stuff. The whole trick with the switches, though, it's basically two spaces before where the Wario thing would come down and punch you, basically. So, yeah, try to jump over it and you'll avoid it. Then you get the disintegrating skulls. That's always wonderful as you try to, you have to kind of move quickly, obviously, as well. Then you get the rising platforms as well. That when you can see spikes on the ceiling, you just know that's what's happening. And then you get a guy that looks kind of like, I don't know, the bad guy in, like the bad circle smiley face thingy in Berserk. I believe his name is Otto. It looks like him, but with like Wario's mustache and eyebrows. Yeah, that's what he looks like. He looks like Otto. Actually, better known as Evil Otto. My apologies. Apparently, it's like a mini boss. So you got to jump on him, I guess, a couple times. So, doesn't look too hard, doesn't move around that fast. So, I think he's like a prequel. He bounces around a lot like the skulls in Zelda 2. So, yep, now you get multiple ones. Oh, goody, it gets funner. You gotta really time your jumps and stuff. They do die in two hits, but of course you're bound to get hit yourself at some point. Obviously, you know, trying to jump high is a good idea most of the time by pressing up as you jump. Told you that a couple times already. Damn thing feels like it's a marathon. It's just an Evil Otto marathon. Come on, guys. Get on with the game. Why do they have to be so damn repetitive, right? The good news is they don't speed up or anything. So, yeah, you have that going for you. And they are very courteous to give you a power-up after you finally get through the Evil Otto Wario marathon. Say that fast three times. Evil Otto Wario marathon. Oh, I guess it wasn't that hard. And once you finally get through all of that and you get your power up, it is showtime, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wario himself. Listen. Battle has begunnest. He's a lot bigger than you. In fact, he's very big, but you jump on his head and jump on his head and jump on his head. He also does the Roy Koopa effect, where when he hits the ground, he makes everything shake because he's a big son of a bitch. Also makes chandeliers come down and smash on you, or lights from the ceiling, or whatever they are. I guess chandeliers are lights from the ceiling. Unfortunately, he does it multiple forms. He's not dead after three hits. So he goes to the next room. You do get a power-up because they're very nice and courteous. I do appreciate that. Now you get the meaner version where now he has the, So it's kind of repetitious, similar battles, but with different abilities now. Now Wario will have the rabbit ears. Yes, he's going to be watching some TV old-fashioned style with the rabbit ears. Then the music gets really serious as he gets the fire flower. It's pretty much the final battle of final battles. It's kind of like Dracula now in Castlevania 3. Now it's the third form. Ooh. You know what really super duper sucks about this game? Every time you die, you go back to the entrance. That is bullshit. I know it's not a really long level, but you go all the way back to the beginning. As AVGN might say, assholes.
What assholes?
If literally by the grace of God, you're able to get to the final form of Mr. Wario with the rabbit ears, you're blessed. Absolutely blessed, because you got a real shot at this thing. You got a real shot at it. Unless you manage to bleep that up too, which some of us tend to do very well. Like you think you're jumping good, and then you're not. It's the most irritating thing ever. But then, then he finally gets shrunk down to size after you jump on him three times. As Fire Wario, and he starts crying worse than Wily, Dr. Wily in Mega Man, and he runs away. He looks like some kind of weird elf with ears the size of something. And then you get to enjoy the ending and see the W turn into an M again. Woohoo! Thank you. beautiful. Well, now the sun's shining again instead of darkness and clouds and all that cute stuff. And they say, thank you, Mario. Your quest is over. As there isn't too much of an ending to this one from what I remember correctly. Yep, you get to see some characters on the bottom area. And then they give you the end credits, basically. So, yeah. Is it a fun game? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Does it have replay value? Absolutely. What would I rate this? So, in terms of overall gameplay, 4.5. The controls are a bit jittery. The controls are probably lower on the scale, like 3.75-ish. The controls are jittery, but at the same time, I'm playing it on a bigger screen, so it's probably a little tougher. You have a little bit less control, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Because it's like, you know, the... How do I even explain it? It's kind of like, again, the range of size, basically. It's like different than, like, say, playing a Nintendo or Super Nintendo game, especially on a bigger screen. It might feel a little bit weird, like the jumps are a little too aggressive, that kind of thing. And then you can make a mistake easier than you would maybe in Super Mario Brothers for the NES or whatever because of that reason. With the Game Boy, you just kind of feel like you're more in control. So I suppose you can certainly do it with a big screen, as I did it. You know, I did it. The last level's a million times harder than anything else you're going to play in the whole game. I mean, it's not even close, especially because there's no checkpoint. You get all the way to the final form of Wario, and you die, you don't get to fight it again. You got to go all the way through the stupid thing again. It's ridiculous. Once the end credits, they start running out of names. Well, no, yeah, you start. I guess the names are still there, but you get to see some characters, some bad guys and such. Hiro Yamada, I like that name. It's a mix of Japanese and American names, I guess, as they say, special thanks. Mary Kokoma, that sounds more like a Latino. And then Wario is looking all happy with his weird eyes. I guess you could call it a lazy eye. One's lower than the other. So Wario has lazy eye. Yes, Nintendo did make the game. Yes, thank you. Mario Land 2. And there's Wario giving a thumbs up, like maybe he's happier now. But he's still big, so he isn't sad and depressed because he got beat by Mario. Thanks to a decent game player like myself or you, who are probably better at it than I am, more than likely. But it's an enjoyable game, yes. Overall replay value, I'd say 5 or 4.75. Maybe you'd get frustrated with the stupid last level. So 4.75. Difficulty, yeah, I mean, it's 4 until you get to the last level. Like the whole... Otherwise, the difficulty is probably more like a 3 until you get to the final level. That's what brings it up to a 4. Graphics, pretty good for a Game Boy game, obviously. The music is outstanding. I'd say 5. I'd say it's a 5. I know you might think, really? Yeah, it's a 5. For a Game Boy game, it's really good. Very enjoyable music on this one. A very, very, very worthwhile game that I think is something you should absolutely get. Or, obviously, emulate. I know maybe I shouldn't encourage people to do emulation, but people do it. So, it is what it is. And, of course, you can purchase it on the Nintendo Store, which might be the more appropriate way to go about things. This or that. But, I don't know. It's a 30-year-old game. Maybe you should. I mean, I don't feel as guilty with the idea of possibly emulating it and putting it on an NES Mini. Or, obviously, if you can pick it up off of eBay or something, that's not the worst thing in the world. As for the pricing on eBay, which I should have done more often on previous games, unfortunately, it's generally more expensive than, you know, what I remember. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I haven't really purchased stuff on eBay for a long time, thanks to something that starts with an E called emulation. Looks like a lot of the loose carts are ranging from $35, $40-ish. It's not that bad. Wow, there's one that's a decent deal here, I think. But I guess it's it's like a newer version. Game Boy Color Advance. Oh, that's kind of nice. I never saw that version. Huh. Interesting. Maybe it's like a remake or something. But it does say licensed by Nintendo. $28.97 for shipping of only $2.95. Well, yeah. You might want to go for that one. Yeah, there's a few here. $15.49. But yeah, the cartridge is busted up. But it works. It works. So, yeah. So, sometimes you're going to get something like that. Maybe something that's more beat up. There's a $20 one. Okay, so that's not bad. $14.99, blah, 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 blah. So, it's not that bad. So, I obviously recommend the Game Boy Advance SP for any Game Boy playing in this modern day. of any kind because it's got a rechargeable battery inside the machine. It's backlit. It's small. How can you not want it? And it's Game Boy Color. How can you not want the Game Boy Advance SP to play Game Boy games? Plus, you can play Game Boy Advance games on it, but also to play regular Game Boy games on it. Like, seriously, would you want anything else? Unfortunately, I'm guessing the SP isn't the cheapest thing in the world, but in this day and age, what is? I'm going to look it up real quick. What the hell? It's like my phone can read my... Yeah, they're not cheap. Damn it. Yeah, they're ranging like the one... Well, there's the cheapest one, 120, so sometimes you get lucky. 120 reshell. Okay, so that means it got a new shell. Yeah. Here's one, 89, 84. Well, that one's got bids, though, but the one without... Yeah, one is $89. That's not bad. So, okay, you're looking at maybe a hundo-ish. A hundo plus, generally speaking. $100 plus for a Game Boy Advance SP. But it's a worthwhile investment if you want to actually play real Game Boy games on an authentic system and be portable and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's your best way to go, in my humble opinion, for Zelda or whatever. I'm still debating on which game I'm going to do. I'll come up with it at the very end of the show like I always do after looking into, the feedback segment. With that said, though, it's a very, very, very enjoyable game. Is it the best Mario game? No, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Is it top three? Maybe. Yes, no, maybe so. Like top four-ish. There's Mario 1, there's Mario 2, Mario 3, no kidding. Mario World, those are all way, way, you know, those are great games. That's the big four. Is it better than Mario Land 1? Absolutely. Mario Land 1 is a very memorable, fun game, and that is a birthday game, so I'll be playing that in July-ish, July, early August. I'll be doing a review of it this year, next year, whenever, but that is a birthday game, so I like to keep things traditional when it comes to when I play a lot of these games. Like, I'm kind of weird that way. So, I don't know. Supposedly, it's... I don't know. We're all different. We all have our, you know, devices. We all have our whatever they are. We all have our traditions or this or that. You know, we geek out for this or we nerd out for that. I'm more of a nerd than a geek. Look up the terms. Yeah, I'm more of a balanced thinker than a obsessive over a couple things and screw everything else. So, yeah. With that said, again, wonderful. We'll be back for the feedback segment now. And we are back here on Video Game Flashback, looking in feedback, but, well, I'm ashamed to say there isn't really any feedback on this one for some reason. I'm not sure what it is. Do people not play Game Boy much? I don't know. Like, a lot of people had Game Boy. A lot of people didn't have Game Boy. I don't know if I'm not connecting to people. I need to find more people that have played some portable systems, but, well, we're definitely not going to go with a portable system in the next game. I'll announce it in a minute. It has been decided. So, I mean, I was going back and forth, and then all of a sudden at the last second, I came up with something quite different, and for a while I was completely blanking, but enough of I and me and this and that. Well, at the end of the day, well, thank you for any new followers there. Really appreciate you very much. Appreciate those of you that retweeted the most recent episode of Golden Axe. I really appreciate that a lot. Looks like, yep, Derek Felska, thank you very much again. Of Crease and Assist, great show, of course, and a great retro gamer as well. It sounds like he was not much into the portable game systems, which is a bummer. Vince Germano out of Australia, Tane Brown out of New Zealand. Just in case you're listening, Vince and Tane and Levi, any of you guys out there, what type of games did you play? Did you play any retro games? Maybe any suggestions you might want to throw at me? Obviously, this new one I've already decided, but you're free to mention suggestions. Because maybe it's something like, oh yeah, I'd like to do that, sure. It might be something I just flat out don't have or can't get into. Like, don't throw PS3 games, PS4 games at me. I'm not going to do those. I'm simply not. I'm probably not going to do any N64 anytime soon either, if at all. I don't know. And I know a lot of people out there love the N64, and a lot of people don't love the N64. There's Atari 2600, Atari 7800, Atari 5200. A lot of those might be combined together, like Centipede, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Of course, the NES, the Super NES. That's a lot of games to choose from. The Game Boy, the Game Gear, the Sega Master System, the Sega Genesis. That's a lot of stuff. There is the Sega Saturn and the PlayStation 1. I suppose those are included, in especially PlayStation 1, yes. And thankfully I can find a way to get around to those. Especially certain ones like Jumping Flash. I think that one should be on the list. I'm possibly going to schedule that for January next year. Because I always see that as like a January kind of game. Then there's like summery type games. Oftentimes if we get into the heat of summer, I'm probably going to go with, you know, like the arcade, like Summer Arcade. Like last year was the Summer of Bugs. Centipede and Millipede. Millipede and Centipede. There's also more bug games out there that I could get to one of these days, like Ladybugs. There's also like, Mouse Trap, games like that. So classic, you know, ColecoVision and Television and arcade type of games and Atari type of games, like Berserk. Those are generally going to be summer type of games because summer I'm busier than ever, I guess. And it's like I could maybe come up with some shorties like that. Though I suppose a game like a certain one that I'm coming up with shortly as well. Also, it doesn't take all that long to do a review for. Because it's a game that I can, you know, play fairly quickly. And it doesn't require a whole lot of time and dedication to not only review, but to edit and produce as well. Some of these nice, solid action games for 16-bit game systems and 8-bit game systems and such. So we're going back to Mickey Mouse again. Yep, Mickey Mouse is going to have his third game on this show, if you can believe it. Starting off with Mickey Mousecapade way back in, was it November 2022 late November 2022 when Video Game Flashback made its return. It was actually the very first, outside of combat, it was the very first NES game ever reviewed on Video Game Flashback. And then I came out with a Sega Master System Castle of Illusion, Mickey Mouse, or Castle of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse. I absolutely love that game, but unfortunately, that game got so little response, so little, because not many people have played that version of it. You know, it's like the downgraded version of the Genesis version of Mickey Mouse, Castle of Illusion, or whatever, however you say it. Castle of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse. Well, guess what? We're going to go to the Sega Genesis version of Castle of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse. That is going to be the next game. A lot of times I've been kind of going back and forth, like a late spring, early summer, or late summer, early fallish, like August, September-ish. August, September-ish, I might come up with something else. Who knows? You know. But I'm going to go with the Sega Genesis version of Castle of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse. I'd been thinking about Who Framed Roger Rabbit on the NES. Anybody out there listening, you could go on Twitter/X at VGF_podcast or email paladinolive@yahoo.com. If you really would like me to review Who Framed Roger Rabbit coming up maybe as the next game or in the future, but if you really want it to be the next game or something, let me know. If you don't care less, well, whatever. It is what it is. But again, suggestions are welcome. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what I'm going to do next, but maybe in time. It could be the game after, or it could be right away, or it might be just something I'm just not going to get to. Like, say, Castlevania on the 64, I'm not doing Castlevania on the 64. E.T. on Atari? Yeah, I probably would do that one. That might be a nice summer game sometime. Maybe even this year. Who knows? Maybe you really want me to do E.T. on Atari. Huh? Like the AVGN. Oh, no, not that one. It didn't piss me off that much. It's not an easy game to play. It's a pain in the ass and stuff, but it's kind of fun and classic, too. And it takes you way, 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 way back. So that's kind of the idea in a lot of ways. That's why it's called Video Game Flashback. For some of you, way, way, way back is the PS1. For others, the Atari is taking you way, 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 way back. Jumpman Jr., that's one I'd like to do in the summer one of these days. Like a June, July type of game. Jumpman Jr. on the Commodore 64. Exquisite. Wonderful game. It's just a very special game in my opinion. Already did Spy Hunter. I enjoyed doing that one. That was fun. More of a winter game for me personally. It was a Christmas game. and all that. But, yeah, I probably did it at the wrong time, but oh well. It's okay. There's plenty of Christmas games to come up with over the future and such. But sucks that there's no fan interaction on this one. Fan interaction. It's called feedback. This isn't sports this time around. So it's the feedback segment. I do too many sports shows, don't I? As for those of you out there, I figure I'll look at the demographics a little bit, or geographic location. United States, 72%. Australia coming in second. Thank you, guys. 7%. Germany coming in third. Hesse, Germany, and North Rhine-Westphalia. So nice to introduce yourself sometime. I'd really appreciate it. It looks like a lot of you are using Spotify, so that's really nice. Thank you. Because Spotify can, the more Spotify listeners actually helps boost the show. Brazil also coming tied with Germany, Canada, United Kingdom, India, Sweden, Switzerland, Mexico, Italia. Yeah, well, Italy. Okay, United Arab Emirates. Interesting. The Netherlands and Denmark. So, cool. Nice to know. But, yep, Australia. What do we have? Victoria. That looked most likely Vince Germano, but maybe some others also. Yep, thank you, Vince, in case you're listening. Western Australia. Yep. United States. Is Minnesota in first place? It is. Illinois is second, interestingly. I think it's Chicago, right? A lot of Chicagoans. I know there's a lot of gamers in Chicago. That's for sure. Chicago and Champaign, Illinois. I've heard of Champaign, Illinois. Isn't that where the Fighting Illini play? I believe so. Kind of cool there. Wisconsin, Washington, Kansas, Philadelphia, California, Ohio, Virginia, New Jersey, Delaware, Michigan, South Carolina, Arkansas, Indiana, Florida, New York, Kentucky, Oregon, Connecticut, Colorado. Yep, so these will get down to the lower percentage, but apparently people, small groups of people from all these different states. That's really cool. It's always fun to look at that kind of stuff, and oftentimes if I have minimal responses on feedback, I may check out this a little bit just to kind of say hello out there and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you at @VGF_flashback. What did it say? It is VGF, right? Now my mind is stopping. Oh, @VGF_podcast. Duh, VGF is Video Game Flashback. I knew I was wrong. @VGF_podcast, and it is in the show description. And PaladinoLive@yahoo.com. It's also in the description. That's the email address. You can contact me as well. I'm not going to treat you like a lesser human being. In fact, I'm the lesser human being, frankly. I mean, think about it. Do you think I'm making money right now? Yeah, no, I am making money at work, yes, not doing the podcast at the moment. Hopefully someday, but I mean, that'll come when it comes. You know, Lord willing, that type of thing. But please do interact with me. I'm not too good for you, believe me. I would love to say hello. I would love it. It'd be absolutely wonderful. We can have some, we can build some friendships on here, dang it. You know, like to talk a little, you know, maybe you're a Sega Master System kind of person. You're an NES. You just love the NES. I do too, dang it. Game Boy, Genesis, this and that. If you're going to beat my head down about PS4, well, maybe I don't want to meet you for that. But but a lot of those older systems, yeah, let's have some fun. Castle of Illusion is next. Sega Genesis. Until next time, take care and stay retro.